It's Tuesday, 1st of June. It's time to get your grin on with the Greencast, here to discuss the world of gaming from the past week. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me are Rhodes.
You're right.
Nikki.
Hi.
And Winx.
Hi there.
Try and take our minds off of the hot weather and start the podcast as we often do. What you been playing, Rhodes?
You immediately started with the hot weather. Like, I wasn't thinking about it, and you said it. Why?
You're welcome.
I've been playing cold things. That's not true. I've got no joke to follow that up. I just played Mass Effect. I finished Mass Effect 2. Had I finished Mass Effect 2 last
cold.
Week? Space, it's not cold, because everywhere I seem to go in Mass Effect 3 is fucking hot, apparently. It's like, oh, this piece of land, it's so warm. I'm like, could it not? Like, could it just be cold? Well, it's going to be like a nice planet, but no. Not in Mass Effect. Clearly doesn't sell. So, but yeah, it's a good game. I like it. It's not as... I don't know if bad is the right word. Like, everyone told me that the ending was shit. I guess I haven't got to the ending yet, so I can't comment on that, but it's pretty good so far. It's like as good as Mass Effect 2 was. So I'm, you know, I'll feed back next week with a bit of disappointment and sadness, I imagine, based on what I've been told.
Start recording and you'll just burst out into tears.
I'm going to come back next week and it's going to be the greatest game I've ever played, and I'm going to go on like a rant for people who've held a grudge against this game for 10 years and told them why they're wrong. And then I'm going to get kicked out of the Greencast.
Okay, Nikki, what about yourself?
Hello, yeah, so I've not actually played much. Well, I've not played much new things this past week, but I've definitely played a lot of Metal Gear Survive, because me and Pius are still very much invested into this strange concoction that is Metal Gear Survive. I just passed 70 hours of total playtime. I am ashamed. No, I'm not going to stop. But it's ridiculous, because we just keep finding things that make it really fun, but we're in like the end game now. Like, a simple thing, we discovered that you can shoot grenades to make them ping off in another direction. But, I mean, that's amazing. That's great. That's helpful. I mean, at like the 50-hour mark, I discovered you can drop kick explosives to make them fly away. That's helpful. And so when you're doing the co-op missions, it's all base digs. You can pay money, basically, to speed up the digger to try and get a better score. But there's also a few other things you can spend the money on. And there's like the option to replenish your ammo. There's the option to get some like backup. And we never used these because we've always just been so careful about making sure we speed up the digger all the time and get the best score. And we were like, let's try them. And the ammo, exactly as expected, just drops a box that you can replenish your ammo. Useful. And then there's, they call them like intercessor units, which just spawns a minigun, which is helpful, I suppose. You can spawn walker gears. That's a lot of fun, having a little, you know, mini Metal Gear, so to speak, with a minigun. And then right at the bottom on some levels, it says heavy weapons support. And I'm thinking, you know, I've never pushed this button. I assume it's a rocket launcher. And so I pushed the button. And then it teleports me into a goddamn Metal Gear. Not like a tiny one, like a full size. Like, I am Metal Gear Rex. I am obliterating everything on the field. Like, there's rockets coming out my knees. I'm firing a penis laser. There's miniguns. It's like the best 30 seconds. And I just sat there, looked at like, kind of like hypothetically looked at Pius through the internet. And I was just like, why did it not tell us this was here? Like, there's this amazing feature that the game just didn't tell us was there. 70 hours in, we found it. And, like, that just kind of sums up Metal Gear Survive. There are some really cool systems and, like, features in this game it just never tells you about. And they're right at the end. And I feel like it's such a shame, because, holy crap, are we having so much fun with it.
I did wonder whether Metal Gear would come in to Metal Gear Survive.
Yeah, who would have thought that there'd actually be a Metal Gear in Metal Gear Survive? And the weird thing is as well, like, so it's Metal Gear Rex, which isn't in Metal Gear Solid 5, which, considering Survive is kind of like an asset flip, means that they either ripped it from MGS4 and did an upscale, or they just made it fresh. I mean, there's geckos in it as well. Like, that blew our mind when suddenly we had jumping robots attacking us.
Do you say there was a penis laser? Because you might need to get your Metal Gear checked. Or serviced, I don't know.
No, penis laser. Metal Gear Rex has a penis laser.
I just like that you had to clarify that when you looked at Puce, he wasn't actually in the room.
I wish he was.
I feel like for legal reasons, you had to state that so the government didn't come knock on your door. Like, don't worry, Boris. He was in another building.
He's another, like, he's like two counties away from me.
Two?
He's a lot more than two. I'm closer than Puce.
But, very long counties.
But yeah, that's pretty much it. That's pretty much all I've been doing, and the usual gachas helped me.
No, Winx, what about you?
Just always at like pick and mix, just little bits of everything, but nothing really to note. But maybe like Cyberpunk. Yeah, so I decided to get back into Night City, and remembered why I didn't really like it or like gel with it at all. Like, it was almost like catching up with like an old friend or an ex and then reminiscing about the good old days when there was like a lot of glitches and you can laugh about it and it was buggy, but then like you realize it hasn't really changed much, and actually like even without the bugs and glitches, it was not really much there, and you kind of omitted out how toxic the game was. I'm talking about the game still. But yeah, it was a bit boring, I guess, my time there. And you just realize why I haven't really come back to it. Well, I guess I wasn't really playing the main story. I was just doing the side missions because I kind of want to try and get 100% on Steam. But I don't know why I want to do that. But it's not fun. I'm not having fun doing it. So I don't know.
Is it better? Yeah? Like, does the game feel better than it did?
I didn't really notice a difference. Maybe a little bit with the driving, but it's not really a driving game. So I'm like, that's a whole killer fish right there. Like, is it supposed to be like GTA or is it trying to be like Skyrim? And it's better being a narrative Skyrim kind of game. Like, the narrative and the mainline story is good. But when you just want to have fun and just piss about and like, I don't know, there's not really much to do, and it's just kind of boring. And I think that like something I didn't really notice until now was that it tries too hard to be, well, I guess a try hard, tries to be too serious, and it's not fun when you're being in that world anyway. As long as you're like, you want to be like a badass too, but when it offers you that kind of Deus Ex kind of badass vibes, but also that idiocracy kind of dumb future at the same time, it doesn't come off as like a GTA kind of like self-awareness or like a balance between the really stupid and just go have fun. It just seems torn, and there's like nothing really wacky to do for it to justify being like wacky itself. And yeah, just, yeah, that's my experience.
It kind of sounds like my experience. I've gone back to Ghost Recon Breakpoint over the last handful of days. I for some reason I just fancied playing it, and then there was a 28 gigabyte patch and I was like, oh.
Wait, what? That seems a bit out of the blue.
It's a present.
Well, we talked about on the Greencast a couple of weeks ago. It's their AI teammates updates to well, they've rejiggered some stuff to the AI teammates. But this was my first experience playing with the AI teammates. This actually wasn't the game I wanted to talk about, but I'll talk about it quickly because we've got a lot of news to talk about. Yeah, it's. The teammates are just like Ghost Recon Wildlands, because you tell them to shoot these three enemies, and you do the sync shot, and no matter where they're stood, they can hit those three enemies pretty much wherever those enemies are, in buildings, on top of buildings, behind buildings. But it makes it easier to clear out places. But unlike Night City, there is plenty to do. You drive along the road, and then there's something on the minimap, a question mark on the minimap that changes into a crate, and it's like, oh, well, it's 5 seconds that way, so I'll just nip over and grab it, and then you get distracted. And it's been keeping me busy. But the game I did want to talk about quickly is I finished Yakuza 4 and have moved on to Yakuza 5. I did like Yakuza 4 more than Yakuza 3. Even at the end, I would rank it higher than Yakuza 3. Yakuza 5, I've not played enough of it, and I've played about 6 hours worth of it. The reason I've not played enough of it is because 5 of those hours have been spent in the taxi driving around or talking to people or racing in the taxi. Because, yeah, you get to drive a car in this one. And I at first I was doing it because I wanted to see if I could finish all of the missions, but it turns out there's tons of them. It gives you three random ones every time you go into to do the side mission, and it's 3 random ones. And yeah, I decided to get my driver rank to 10 and then go to an ATM, and I'd made 400,000 yen just driving. But yeah, again, it taken like 5 hours.
How many more games until you're actually in the Yakuza?
I'm not altogether sure.
You'll find out.
I can't wait until like we can finally do a series where we actually just send you to Japan and you become a Yakuza for a week. And because I love the idea of like you just talking about all this shit you've been up to, just as you normally would. Just like, yeah, just killed, you know, shot a guy, and just like, oh, what, like airsofting. No.
got a back tattoo. What, your character? No.
Oh my god, your back tattoo will just be a copy of Yakuza 5. Specifically.
The box art, yeah.
Yeah.
With the little PlayStation 4 icon.
Aww.
Anyway, speaking of box arts, we've finally had a look at the box art for the new Pokemon titles that are being released. And we've got their release dates too. Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, the remakes of the DS games from 2006, are going on sale on the 19th of November this year, and they are also being sold, they're being sold separately and also in a dual pack. And honestly, the dual pack art is just the two single box arts. It's really kind of
Nintendo is what I'm hearing.
And Pokemon Legends Arceus also has a release date. That's coming at the start of next year, the 28th of January. So look forward to next year's pandemic where we'll have to stay inside and play Pokemon Legends.
Yeah, wait.
Yeah, come on.
Yes, my conspiracy theory is that Nintendo caused the coronavirus so they could shift Animal Crossing.
Oh my god.
What a theory.
We had the Hollow Earth theory last week, and now we've got the... Oh, my gosh.
We've got the Animal Crossing conspiracy.
But if you just have a look at my whiteboard where I've got all these writings and these things pinned, just it'll all make sense.
Oh, baby, you're still dragging Nintendo through the mud after all these years, eh? It's unbelievable.
Look, if the GameCube was still on sale, I'd be a fan.
Well, no one bought it, mate, so that's why it's not.
That's the Dreamcast. No one bought the Dreamcast. Tons of people bought the GameCube.
It's like the second worst selling Nintendo console of all time.
Shouldn't have released all those games in cube form.
Yeah, it's true.
Anyway, so is anyone looking forward to November or January more?
Oh, definitely January.
Yeah, oh, yeah. If I had a Switch, I probably want to look out for the Legends.
The first actually 3D Pokemon game.
Yeah.
This is where we get the old bait and switch from Game Freak, though, isn't it? And it's not. It's just a generic turn-based Pokemon game. It was all a ruse.
Oh, yeah, is it not?
It is. When you're in battles, it is just turn-based. It just takes place in... This is the thing, like, we've not really seen enough of it to... Like, I'm excited to finally get to play Diamond and Pearl, but, like, that Legends game, I'm like, it looks cool from what we've seen, but we've only seen one trailer, so I'm like, I'm just going to... not have an expectation right now. Like, I just, when it comes to Nintendo games, in fact, when it comes to most games these days, I'm just like, don't get hyped. Just don't get hyped.
I saw a tweet going around once when these release dates were announced. Pokemon Legends Arceus is coming in 8 months, and all we've seen is this janky gameplay. It's like, yeah, well, yeah, because it's 8 months away.
Well, yeah, it kind of reminds me of when, was it Sword and Shield came out, and everyone was talking about how janky that was, and it kind of was a bit jank from what I heard.
it was jank, to be fair.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of the new Diamond and Pearl look. Everyone looks squashed. I don't like how squished they look and deformed. They look deformed.
It's chibi. It's super deformed style.
No, they look like I sat on them. It just doesn't look cool. And from seeing other remakes, how they've tackled it, like especially with Link's Awakening, it's like give that kind of aesthetic to Pokemon. I want to have that glossy, cutesy little miniature look, not like some marshmallows that have been sat out in the sun for too long, and they're like, sell it.
I mean, they look the same to me.
I love it. I like it because it gives that perfectly adequate lazy Pokemon Game Freak game look that I've become accustomed to for the past 15
years. No.
Well, without an adequate segue, Dead by Daylight have announced that their next characters that they're adding to the game are from Resident Evil, specifically Resident Evil 3 Nemesis, because they're adding in Nemesis and Jill and a bloke.
Leon.
And he's from the second game.
Yeah. Bloke number two.
Don't do my husband like that. Like, come on, Leon is a beautiful man and he should be respected.
I don't play Dead by Daylight. I don't play Resident Evil. I don't know these things.
I don't play Dead by Daylight either because I play good games. I didn't mean to say that. Oh no. The salt came out.
I would just like to redirect you all to like my first six appearances on this podcast where I'd slay Dead by Daylight every week, and that's where I wish to leave my statement.
Well, the killer Nemesis is it spreads infection, and while you are infected, the survivors are infected, the Nemesis power grows somehow. I just remember hearing that. That's not covered in our news post. And there are zombies wandering around the map when a killer is playing as Nemesis. And the gameplay reveals shows Nemesis, the person playing as Nemesis, punching one of the zombies. It just made me laugh.
Are you evil?
Yes.
Oh shit.
I mean, it's a zombie. Are you that upset that a zombie's getting punched in the head?
Look, I believe in equality for all, mate. That zombie doesn't know what it's doing. Maybe there's a cure. Have you considered that?
Yes, I have considered that. It's still funny.
The cure is in the end of Ace's hand. It's called a fist.
Yeah, I'll start playing the game just so I can punch zombies.
You'll have like a knuckle duster, but it's got vaccines on it.
The Dead by Daylight's Resident Evil chapter is coming on the 15th of June, so that's only a couple of weeks away. And then you can punch zombies yourself. But on the subject of zombies, Dying Light 2 Stay Human had a gameplay trailer released. And yeah, last week it was when they announced that the subtitle is Stay Human, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And the
UV light.
And the release date is the 7th of December this year.
I'm shocked that this appeared so quickly and suddenly. Like, I feel like it's been missing for years. And then suddenly they were like, hey, game.
Yeah, it got indefinitely delayed, like, last year.
January last year, yeah.
Yeah, and which is kind of funny actually, because so it got delayed before COVID, like, you know, COVID and everything. But then like the new trailer opens with them being like, yeah, so you know that pandemic, oh, it really hit our development, and it's like, now okay, fair enough, but you were already having trouble. But no, it looks really good. Like, I I loved the first one. I think Dying Light 2 is one of the few games I'm actually looking forward to. I don't know, I just said like 10 minutes ago, I try not to get hyped. I'm a little bit hyped for Dying Light 2. But it's interesting because it's the first game has like a sort of expansion, which had a really kind of weird ending, but we now know that ending, I guess, is canon. You're now playing as someone new, it's been 15 years, and yeah, everything's gone to shit. And the game's taking place in like an unspecified European city, although it looks a lot like Paris, just no Eiffel Tower.
I love that you clarify that everything looks like it's gone to shit, as if it was all peaches and roses before.
Well, I mean, in terms of there's like now horrific zombie mutants everywhere, and the pop humanity is having to make a final stand. That kind of shit, not just that everything looks a bit, you know.
Or it's just Paris.
Yeah, that's. I didn't want to say it. Okay.
I'm not interested in this because the zombies can hurt me and I can't punch them in the head.
But you can make windmills.
You can drop kick them off buildings. You can grab a zombie, jump off a building with the zombie.
They can hurt me.
Well, then you kick them faster than they can kick you. Get good.
Use your fists.
Yeah.
Use those man hands.
Yeah. I don't know, I'm just joining in now.
Listeners, they're picking on me.
Who are you telling us to? Like, who are you telling us off now? Like, you're in charge. You can discipline us.
Yeah, but I'm just telling on you. To the listeners.
The listeners don't care.
Someone's screaming at their phone, I care.
Rash doesn't count.
Well, you know what does count? Sonic Colors Ultimate, the re-release of Sonic Colors from the, the Wii, wasn't it?
Does it count because it's a paint-by-numbers game, but Sonic-themed?
Yes. Sonic Colors is one of the quote-unquote good Sonic games. It's also one of the few that I haven't played. So I'm actually looking forward to this.
Are you going to talk to us about how it's spelled?
No. I'll mention
how it was spelled in the email and then in the header of the same email that you got.
No, it was on. Okay, so the original game, Sonic Colors, spelled C-O-L-O-R-S in America, and over here it was C-O-L-O-U-R-S,
as we
spell colors. But then this announcement came through, and then the email also said the American colors, and the Sega asset site says colors with a U, but the only assets they are giving us does not have a U, and that bugs me, because why does the original have a U and this one doesn't?
Look, surely it shouldn't be that difficult to spell color. There's a right way and there's a wrong way. And the right way has a U in it.
There's a right way and there's an American way.
Yeah.
Well, is Sonic American?
He is now. You've heard him speak. He's like, I'm Sonic and I'm American. You never seen that bit?
Oh, yeah.
Pulls out his gun, his cowboy hat.
Yeah, yeah. Sonic's catchphrase, yeehaw.
He walks in, he's like, ride him, Tails. And then he, like... Because he's American, he doesn't say Knuckles. He actually calls him Knuckles.
Infuriating.
Sonic Qualler than Knuckles.
What makes this worse is, you know, full damn well that if there isn't already, there's going to be a fan fiction by the time this episode comes out of someone being like, this is fantastic.
Yeah, what do you think I'm working on right now?
Oh. It's funny because I'd listened to a podcast about Sonic the Comic, a comic that was... published over here in the 90s and early 2000s, and they've mentioned several times that because it was a British comic, the writing is for British characters, like the phrases they say, but in their heads Sonic has an American accent but all the other characters are British.
I just Sonic, cool, blimey, governor, you're right. I'm Sonic, cool. I'm chuffed, I'm bloody chuffed, oi.
Okay, in one issue of Sonic the Comic Tales does say core.
So what you're saying is that Tails is Sonic's like cockney friend that he just like kidnapped from like East London or something.
Yeah. Well, Tails does come from another dimension in the Sonic the Comic continent.
Tails is Tracer.
Yeah. I was going to say.
Is it called Croydon by any chance?
I was going to say, is it Camden? Is it Cornwall?
It's called the Nameless Zone.
Oh, Wales.
Oh, I want a Welsh Dr. Eggman now.
No, he's from Northern Ireland. And Knuckles is from Scotland.
I reckon if Dr. Eggman was just from like Bolton, he was just played by Peter Kay and Paddy McGuinness.
Oh my god. Yes. Make it.
Right, before we fan cast any more characters, we'll move on to Destruction All-Stars. It's been revealed that it's getting bots because not enough people are playing the game to for people to matchmake with.
Oh, I really like to. I want to imagine that like they won't do it, but there's just servers and lobbies just full of bots just playing with each other. Kind of cute, or maybe it's like a prison for them and they hate playing.
Yeah, very poor. It'd be funny if the bots started leaving.
The thing I find really fascinating about the sort of announcement about this, because there's a couple of things that are coming as well, but like the fact that adding bots and the fact that there's not enough players is the key takeaway. It's the fact that at the same time they're like, oh, but these are the peak times, and they just put what the peak times that their servers are active are. Huh. And it's like, it's 4 p.m. till 10 p.m. UTC on a weekday. And 2 p.m. until 1 a.m. on the weekends. And it's just like, those are very specific times.
Half of most days.
Yeah, it's like, so your game is only playable for half the week. That's unfortunate.
So if I want to play at 8 a.m. any day of the week, then I'm asked.
Look, my favorite thing about it is the fact that once upon a time, there was a video game company called Sony. And this video company, Sony, thought that this game would be worth £70.
Oh yeah, I mean, I guess that's because they didn't package Destruction like Average Joe's, because that would be like £40.
Well, come on now.
I'd much prefer saying that.
You know full well that Sony would still charge £70 for that.
I've since this game was announced, I've been saying vehicular combat games don't sell. People don't play them. Historically, people don't play them. The Twisted Metal series died because no one bought it.
I love the Twisted Metal series because whenever anyone mentions it, they're always like, I love the Twisted Metal series. And you're like, did you play it? And they're like, no. And you're like, well.
They just remember that clown with the ice cream truck.
Yeah, same. I fucking hate it. Haunts my dreams.
but yeah, they released this game and it proved
it's also all along. Like, not only is it an uphill battle with like the original price tag and the genre it's in, it's also just not very good. It's just so boring. Like when you go in, there's just like no music and you just hear that for like 4 minutes straight as you just like rev that engine at full speed and you're just like, I wish I would blow up in real life. That would be better than playing this game anymore.
We'll get that real haptic feedback. Of exploding.
I don't think it does have haptic feedback. I don't think it got that.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What?
I don't remember it working on mine, at least.
Even the Carmageddon series has died off again after its resurrection, and that's a cult classic, beloved by hundreds of cult fans.
Hundreds of people.
I feel like being generous. Literally dozens of them.
Dozens of us. Yeah, stop making vehicular combat games. They don't sell. You're not filling a void in the marketplace. No one wants your product.
What if it was a Sonic
vehicle? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Sonic Crash.
Sonic Crash. Yeah. Sonic Wait, Crash. That's... But they spell it wrong. They spell it Colors. Colors.
That's more of like a Sonic meets Crash Bandicoot, but I don't think I would like that.
Can we just bring back Blur?
Oh yeah, that's more like racing, but Blur was great.
What about Modern Nation Races? Bring that back. That was the one.
Rock'em'Roll Racing 2.
Well, on the subject of racing games, EA have announced that Need for Speed titles are being delisted and the servers for the online capabilities are being shut down. But don't worry, it's only for games that are 10 years or older. Need for Speed Carbon, Undercover, Shift, Shift 2 Unleashed, and The Run are all being, well, have now all been removed from digital storefronts, so you can't buy them, and if you already own them, the servers are going to shut off on the 31st of August. After that, you're still going to be able to play the online content, but yeah, if there's any achievements or whatever Origin has, then make sure you get those quick.
Woo!
What I want to say to this is that I know there's definitely going to be someone out there going, this means they're bringing Need for Speed Underground back. They're not. They're going to kill the franchise.
Mm.
I'm sorry to tell you.
They couldn't get out that royalty-free Get Low song.
Yeah. Well, that Snoop Dogg cover of Riders on the Storm.
Oh.
I know, right? Absolute banger.
Just get the soundtrack.
Basically, they've got Codemasters now, so they don't need any racing games because they've got F1.
Hmm.
Well, they still have their recently released Need for Speed games that you can buy and play online, but they've made this decision to refocus teams because, well, not enough people playing the older games anymore because, again, they're like a decade old. One of them came out in 2006, so...
Ew, old games, what?
Yeah, old games, what? On the Greencast? No.
Need for Speed, what?
I know. Maybe they should re-release it as Need for Speed Colors.
Who's playing the online version, multiplayer of any game from 2006? And no, you can't count World of Warcraft.
Can I just point out, though, that these games, they're getting their online servers turned off. I guarantee you, they probably still have more people playing than Metal Gear Survive does. Yet somehow Metal Gear Survive is still getting weekly updates.
Guess you could say it's surviving.
Goddamn well is.
I mean, they both probably got more players than Destruction All-Stars, which has actual bots playing, so...
Wow. We're just all the salt today.
Yeah, fucking hell. Here is a pace. What's next?
Well, you'll be very happy... Rhodes, because Nintendo have successfully sued a ROM site.
I said, cheer us up. What are you doing, man?
It will cheer you up because Nintendo won and they're your favorite people. In 2019, they filed a lawsuit against ROM Universe, or the person who ran ROM Universe. And yeah, they are now $2.1 million richer because God knows Nintendo needs that money.
I hope they use all that money to, I don't know, archive all their games online, maybe for all of us, hopefully.
It'd be funny as fuck if they did, though.
It would be. It'd be so nice. It'd be a nice change.
They were seeking $15 million in damages against Matthew Stormen, the person who operated the site. Because it wasn't just because he was uploading and allowing people to download ROMs, Nintendo ROMs. It was also because you could purchase premium access. And apparently during 2019, the site generated over $30,000 in revenue.
Do you think Nintendo actually sued him for that reason, or were they just jealous that they could do internet better than them?
I'm guessing that they downloaded the ROMs that they needed for online, and then they sent the letters.
Clean them out, boys.
How right, like this? The reason you when you see someone, the reason you get X amount of money, right, is because it's money you would have potentially lost. Yes. So how did they try and justify 50 million? Because not being that guy, I've never, I can't imagine they're making lots of, fucking old ROMs of, Ghosts and Goblins.
Nintendo have a roulette wheel in the back that they spin and just be like, all right, we're going to sue them for 100 million.
Originally, one of the arguments Nintendo gave was that you could download thousands of Nintendo ROMs. And one of the counter arguments that the guy who represented himself, I must say.
Okay, yeah, that was his mistake.
Wait, what?
Sympathy's gone.
Was that no, they're not thousands of ROMs for Nintendo games. Yes, there were 49 copyrighted works that the statutory damages are $35,000 each. And then there's trademarks, 29 trademarks, which is an additional $400,000. So yes, that's a good chunk of change. And apparently the guy is currently unemployed, so Nintendo's going to be waiting a while for that money.
I just don't understand what the point is. Like, all they just lose in every like scenario here. Like, the fans don't like it. They're just bullying a little person out of money, and they don't even like they're not even making the ROMs available. Like, that's like one of the stupidest bits about it all. Like, people want, like, if they put all those ROMs somewhere online and you could subscribe to play them or you could pay for them, people would fucking buy them, and they don't. So it's like the only reason they're losing money is because of themselves.
Mm. Well, Nintendo love that scarcity, don't they? They want to keep things locked away or like behind a service. Well, it would be good if they had like a proper service, but no, they're like only releasing X amount of things and then being like, oh, we've sold that. Oopsie. Shouldn't have bought so much. Ha ha ha.
One of the first articles for Game Grin was talking about how there should be each publisher should put out a emulator and then like £5 per game, these games that they're not currently selling anywhere. Mm-hmm. People wrap that up, just an emulator for PC, £5 for Super Mario World. I mean, I know you can buy it in like 40 different places already, but still.
Mm.
It's not just that though, like things like Spotify have proven that if you make these things easily accessible, or easier to get and pay for than it is to illegally download them, people will just pay money.
Well, at the end of the day, piracy is nothing more than just a service issue. Like, piracy exactly. is just because it's not available.
Yeah.
Exactly. And nothing's more piratey than Cyberpunk, am I right?
I was going somewhere else with that.
Oh, sorry.
No. Rhodes, take it away. She ruined it.
All right. These fucking bastards at CD Projekt Red, right? They fucked it. Isn't that right, Ace?
Have you forgotten what you wanted to say about it?
No. God, I was just, I'm waiting for, I just want to bounce my jokes off you, man. Like, come on.
Okay. So, yes, indeed.
Thank you. All right. So these guys, they had a conference call and they were talking about Cyberpunk, right? And there's three very key things I loved a lot about this conference call. The first one was they've got a roadmap, because they're going to fix Cyberpunk. They're going to do it. They're going to fix it. And this roadmap is literally just a straight line of them going, we'll do a bit of fixing here. We'll do a bit of fixing there. Bit of paid DLC there. A bit more fixing here. And you're like, it doesn't say anything. It's just a straight line of you going, we'll do something. Like, I could do that. I could have made that for you. You just gave it the generic, like, Cyberpunk black and yellow bullshit. Like, it's just stupid.
It did also say that the next gen upgrades are coming next year.
Well.
So all these fixes and stuff are happening sometime next year.
And it's still getting delayed. It's another delay. They've managed to delay a game that's already been released.
They had a chart that was explaining how many bugs have been fixed, and it was like slowly selling going down, like it was like a stock market going down or crashing, but they didn't have like the access where it showed you how much percentage by. It's not like 0 to 100, and it was like teaching from 60% bugs to 40%. It just had nothing, so it could have been literally 0.0001 of a bug fix.
It wasn't even that. They also had the similar graph for the amount of crash reports they were getting, where again it was just a graph with no numbers. So it's like, are you getting 5 crashes a day? Or are you getting 5,000 crashes a day? Who knows? What console is this based off? Is this PC? I don't know. Is it all of them?
Going down, that's all that matters.
it wasn't. It was going up half the time. So. Funnily enough, every time there was an update, it just went, it's... I imagine what happened was every time they updated it, it had a spike where it went up, where loads of people came back to see if it was fixed, and they realised it wasn't.
Yes. Again.
But then my favorite bit of the whole thing is that they have this big conference with their investors, and one of the investors goes, how much did it sell first quarter of this year? Bearing in mind that in last December, they were very big to brag. They were like, we sold 30 million copies in December. We had 8 million pre-orders, and they were just like flaunting it. Even though like everything around them was on fire, they were just flaunting it because like, we've done it. And they were predicting to sell 21 million by the end of this year. So someone goes, how much has it sold this year? And they're just like, I'm not going to answer that. And then like a couple of minutes later, the guy comes back. He's like, yeah, but like, how many copies of the game you sold this year? And he just doesn't answer the question again. And then someone went away and like did some funky like data maths, because I can't do that. So I'm just reading what I read on Reddit. And they think it only sold between 500,000 and 800,000 copies in the last 3 months.
Oh my! Like, and they sold like 15 like in total, like in December, right, alone or something like that.
Yeah, I think it was 30 million in December.
Oh my god.
And their target for the end of the year was 21 million. And it's like, you have not made much of a dent in that, have you? You
Ooh. Yikes.
Cheeky mother truckers. But they expected their revenue for the past 3 months was something like, I think it was $22 million. And they made 8 million. So it was almost a third under what they expected.
Oh dear.
Mm-hmm. So
they're really earning those bonuses they gave themselves.
Yeah, definitely. The thing is with CD Projekt Red, like, aside from Cyberpunk, you can move away from that, but like it really is hard to see them recovering, because the whole point of Cyberpunk was it was like a GTA Online thing. It was going to keep them going for X amount of years until whatever came out, whereas now to my knowledge, like I know they're working on other things, the other big projects, but they haven't announced anything yet, which is probably for the best, given this whole fucking terribleness. But like, they haven't announced anything yet. You'd have to assume, based on how long Cyberpunk took to not even be finished when it came out, it's at least like 5 or 6 years away, and they can't not deliver whatever it is. And they've Look, Cyberpunk's not going to bring in any money now, is it? Because another big thing they've shot themselves in the foot in is that they said that anyone who buys Cyberpunk on the PS4 or the Xbox One gets a free upgrade, disc-based or not. Disc version of the game's like 20 quid now. Like it's going to be in the bargain bin by the end of the year. Like, they're not making money off this. If you want the PS5 version, you'll just go to fucking CX or Game and pick it up for a tenner in like December. And like, that's it. They're not going to see a penny of it. Like, you hate to say it, but like the company's, they're just going to get bought by Microsoft or something, and that'll be it. Like that'll be it within the next year.
How much money is Gwent bringing in?
I forgot that was a thing, so probably not a lot.
It's not on your radar.
Yeah,
not on Rhodes' radar.
Is it Hearthstone? No, so it doesn't matter.
Can we have a topic? Can we just get a topic that's just Rhodes rants?
I'll give you one every week. It's usually the start of what I've been playing. So.
Oh yeah, we got Gacha Corner, got Rhodes Rants. We had that one time that I did a riddle.
Winx Whittles.
Winx Whittles. Yeah, that alliteration.
Oh no. Okay. Well, I thought we'd finish off with the main topic related to a news story. One of the first news stories that we talked about. What should cross over with Dead by Daylight next?
The CEO of CD Projekt Red.
Okay, and everyone else is the employees.
What would be his ability, his attack ability?
Essentially, what it would be is you'd get in the game with him and you'd never be able to finish the game, so he wins.
Oh, no, he puts you on a crunch machine.
You're constantly having to work on those generators. You can never finish them. Just a constant grind. And then when you'd like fill up the bar completely, he just gets paid.
Oh.
You finish the generators, open the door, the CEO walks out.
does a speech about how their QA team failed them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be fair, the QA team has failed at fucking Dead by Daylight as well, so...
I'd like to see Johnny Gat as a survivor, except he'd never die because he's Johnny Gat. And
yeah, but
they killed him off in the third game and he's still alive.
Yeah, but they always come in pairs, so you'd have to have like a killer come with him.
Satan.
Well, the alien overlord from Saints Row 4.
Oh, I mean, well.
Zinyak.
Look at you with your real answers. I'd like the aliens from Destroy All Humans.
Oh, I thought you meant like just as in xenomorphs, because that could work too.
I have thought about xenomorphs before, because I had this conversation a couple of years back when I used to play it a lot. But I just don't know like how well a xenomorph would work, because there's quite a few killers in the game which are just like run around, hit you, put you on a hook sort of thing.
I guess like, this one can go through vents and like go upside down.
Yeah, but like that would mean you'd have to redesign every map for it, and like I've played enough Dead by Daylight to know that they're not doing that.
So what about Silent Hill, like a Pyramid Head?
He's already in it.
Oh. And yeah. I will. Okay, Pyramid. What about Dino Crisis? There we go. It's another Capcom one. Well, that's as in,
what
like,
about, wait, I've got it. What about, right? Mm-hmm. Sonic Colors. Right. You play.
Everyone's wisps.
You play. Have you ever seen that Sonic Creepypasta with the Cursed Sonic game where he just eats Knuckles?
Oh, no.
There's a lot of Cursed Sonic stuff.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You have to narrow down.
I'll have to send it you after with this, because obviously you need to see it. But it's just like it's like a corrupted Sonic game. It's like evil Sonic, and he's like bleeding out his eyes, and he just like kills the other Sonic characters. So that should be the killer, and like you should get to play as like Knuckles, Tails, Shadow, insert other fucking generic hedgehog people. Amy,
Cream the Rabbit.
I don't know. Cream the Rabbit, Dr. Eggman.
Did I say that right? Cream the Rabbit, not yeah, Creamy yeah. Rabbit.
Oh god! Taking it back to Sonic the Comic, actually, when. When this is relevant, when Sonic turns into Super Sonic, he's actually insane and tries to kill his friends. Oh. So that would work.
It's called Roid Rage. Oh my god, that's a big thing.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
Super Sonic. There's one which I'm not happy in thinking of, but what could work, like Five Nights at Freddy's, where you're just in the, yeah, there's this one animatronic and you're just trying to run away.
And it can't move if you're looking at it.
It'd definitely be a sell of that, because I'm sure Five Nights at Freddy's still does bits, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, game theory is anything to go by.
Go all the way over and just like do a crossover with Heavy Rain. And like, you play as the killer from that, and then like you have to
just make little origami. Just
yeah, everything is just like awkward fucking movement systems. Again, which to be fair, is Dead by Daylight in a nutshell. So
there's only one button, and that's Ethan.
Jason.
Jason. Oh, wrong.
There you go. Put Ethan Winters in.
Ah,
I'd be down for it. Yeah, and but Capcom don't want to show you his head. So
I was going to say
no, exactly. He doesn't have a head. Yes.
He has to turn all the generators on and he grows a head.
Oh, I got another one, actually. What about Pac-Man, right? But Pac-Man is the killer and all the ghosts are people, just like the survivors.
I like that.
Yeah,
it's not necessarily horror, but can they just, like, as one of the killers, could they just add a space marine? Because, I mean, they're 9 foot tall, like, they've got chainswords. I mean, I'd be more terrified of that coming towards me than, say, like, Jason. Or whilst, like, yelling at the survivors about how they're heretics or something.
I think they should just add Max Payne.
You think that about every game.
Like that.
Oh, no, we're all missing something here. Literally, just add the Queen of England.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing more terrifying than the royal family.
Yeah, and all the other characters are just megalomorphal, trying to just live peacefully as she fucking terrorizes them.
Oh my god.
So wait, Piers Morgan is also a killer.
Oh, fucking. To be fair, like, if you put Piers Morgan as the killer, he'd be like a sole survivor. Like, all the other people in the game would be trying to kill him. No, this is what you do. You go for the proper bait and switch. You put Solid Snake in, right? But when you click to play as him, you spawn in as Raiden. And that's it.
And he's naked.
Yes.
And he can't do generators because he's covering up the whole way around.
No, he does them with his feet.
Oh, dexterous.
No, he does it with like the knife in his mouth, like in MGS4.
Okay, I think we've reached the end of our podcast. Thank you for joining me, people.
No.
And thank you for listening to this episode, dear listeners. Don't forget to check out GameGrin.com, where you'll find all of our writing. Keep an eye on social media. Just search for GameGrin to find out whenever a new podcast goes live. And finally, if you subscribe via Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Stitcher, thank you. And with that, game on.